You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Tuesday to you. I got my man, Mr. Michael Lee, back in the building. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, man? Just enjoying this lovely Dallas weather.
It is lovely. You know, y'all would be jealous of it. Is you know, Texas is nice. It's a whole lot warmer than it was in Minnesota. Yeah, I mean, it was cold there. But listen, y'all don't want to hear about that. Y'all don't want to hear about the weather report. Y'all want to talk about last night's game. The Sixers lost to the Dallas Mavericks 122-102. Now, before people talk about how the Sixers were undermanned, keep in mind that the Dallas Mavericks were without two of their starters as well. Now, understand, they didn't have Joel Embiid.
He's a big piece.
But they were undermanned as well.
Without Jimmy Butler.
So, you know, basically for the first segment, Mike, I want us to talk about, does this loss really mean anything? Like, what does it mean? In the second segment, we just want to break down the defense. Like, the defense has been getting criticized all season. It was another horrible effort. But I hate to say it, I also think the offense was bad, too. Mm-hmm. But we'll talk about that. And then the third segment, we just got to talk about, with five games remaining, I mean, you know, it's kind of sort of similar to the first one, but it's third. We're just going to talk about moving forward. So you down with that?
Oh, yeah. Let's get to it.
All right. Let's get to it. So, Mike, does this loss mean anything to you, bro?
You know, late in the season, you always have these situations where teams that have nothing to play for, you know, sneak off a win or two against a quality team, and you start wondering what's happening. And April Fool's Day, you usually get these kind of games where you start scratching your head. And it usually feels good for, like, a team that's headed nowhere to get a win against a contender. And you kind of just dismiss it as it being nothing. But with the 76ers, it feels like every loss kind of matters in the respect of they're trying to build, you know, and they're trying to build upon, you know, last year. You know, they won 52 games last year. And I think if they come short of 52 this year, then that would be a disappointment considering all that's been invested in terms of trades and financial commitments and, you know, all-star performances, you know. So it was a loss that meant a lot because they didn't have Jimmy, they didn't have Joel, so they had an excuse, but they were playing a team that didn't have Luka, that didn't have Tim Hardaway Jr., had a bunch of dudes that I'm pretty sure most people don't even know are in the league. And they were just getting layups and getting buckets like there was no tomorrow. And I think when you're trying as a team to really trying to establish chemistry, establish trust, establish camaraderie, having that kind of performance doesn't necessarily give you encouraging signs, you know. And I think it was a big loss because this was an opportunity for the bench guys to really establish themselves. And you saw, or you know, reserves like James Ennis, Jonah Bolden, who played phenomenal basketball in Minnesota, but had like the ultimate clunker in Dallas. And that's something where, you know, a coach, you're going to have moments where you have good games and bad games. But like for a coach like Brett Brown, he's got to figure out who he can trust, you know, and they've really got to sharpen up who they're going to depend on, who's going to be a part of their playoff rotation. And this is really the opportunity for guys to step up and really show that they're going to be, you know, in the mix. Like right now, going into the playoffs, you can say Mike Scott's going to play, you assume. T.J. McConnell's going to play. And James Ennis is going to play. But as backup centers, is it going to be Boban or Jonah? Uh-huh. And I think some of those things need to be addressed. So these games may not matter, you know, in terms of the big picture, they're still going to lock up the third seed. But for the guys who are trying to show Brett, hey, you can count on me when we get to the real, I don't know if that's what you're seeing.
No, you don't see that. And also the funny thing is, like, when you say, you know, T.J. McConnell's going to play, Mike Scott's going to play, James Ennis going to play, and then we got to go with the backup center. Now, Brett keeps trying to say that, You know, we may have an eight-man rotation, but yeah, you're going to have a nine. You know what I mean? Because you got to play McConnell. Now, I don't know how many minutes he's going to get. But the thing that gets me is, you know, we're talking about how they're not playing their best basketball. And, you know, you want to play your best basketball at this particular time.
Last year they won 16 in a row,
16
right?
in a row. And you know what? Last year's schedule was horrible, those last 16 games.
But look who they're struggling with now.
That's what I'm trying to say. All right. You know what I mean? It was like, it was horrible. Everybody was saying that. You know, I mean, come on now. You got your butt whipped to the Atlanta Hawks.
Yes.
Right? You know, you lost to the Orlando Magic again.
Who clearly, they could wind up getting them in the playoffs.
They could, but the Sixers, but, I mean, you come
even
off,
without Ben Simmons, you shouldn't get hammered like that.
You shouldn't get hammered. And then, you know, Joel had 39 and 13, and that freed everything up for other people. And they were able to beat a Brooklyn Nets team that was playing their seventh road game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So tired. And guys shot the ball horribly on the net, so they win that game, right?
Yeah.
They go to Minnesota. You know, everyone wants to talk about how good a win that was. All I know is they were up 21, and Minnesota pulled within three in the fourth.
Yeah.
And then they had to pull that one out. And then you come here, and it's one of those things, man, where, you know, Luka didn't play. Tim Hardaway Jr. didn't play.
And they were on a back-to-back after winning in Oklahoma City in 94.
It was on a back-to-back. I mean, early on, it was so bad. Like, Jalen Brunson, you know what I mean? My man looked like he was playing a pickup game at Villanova.
He was.
You know what I mean? Going
it
on.
Late in the season, this game had preseason vibes all over it.
Oh, exactly.
It's preseason scrimmage vibes.
Now, and I'll hear something else. So, that's alarming to me, and it means something. You look at Joel Embiid. So, you know, they're saying is rest. They're saying we want to rest them. But you're resting them for three games when you need to still clinch, right? Jimmy Butler. You know, Jimmy Butler stayed in that one game because the adrenaline and all that stuff.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to sit down against Minnesota. And for you guys who don't know, Jimmy Butler has back tightness. Joel Embiid has tendonitis in his left knee. The Sixers shut him down for three games, so he missed two games because of that. And then the next game he'll miss against the Hawks. So, in other words, neither one of those guys played. So we're talking about, we're looking at, you know, let's keep it real. When the playoffs come, Embiid's the most important piece.
Absolutely.
And Jimmy Butler is second. Right?
Yeah.
You know, he's second. So right now, neither one of them are like 100%.
Or close to it.
Now, so what they're going to say is like, yeah, we just want to rest them for the playoffs. Yeah. But if they were 100%, you wouldn't be resting them for the playoffs.
Yeah, it's not like now. It's not like last year when Joel had the facial fracture and was out. And the team was like, and you thought they were going to crumble and fall apart. And they just rolled. You know, without him, it was like, oh, nothing's going to stop this ship, right?
Mm-hmm.
This year is kind of like, without Joe, they are a completely different team, and it ain't a good team.
Nah.
They are a not really good basketball team when Joel sits, and he's not going to win MVP. But these ugly losses, you get to understand his value. You get to see exactly what he brings to the table. And with a team with this much talent, it shouldn't really hinge so much on one guy.
And here's the problem with tonight's loss. So, you know, you look at this starting lineup, right? You look at, so Justin Jackson, Dirk Nowitzki, Dwight Powell, Courtney Lee, and Jalen Brunson, right? So, you know, if you take Jonah Bolden and James, just take Jonah Bolden and James Ennis off the Sixers starting lineup. Ben Simmons, an all-star. Tobias Harris, who
borderline
was snubbed.
All-star.
Yeah, borderline all-star. J.J. Redick going to go down as one of the league's all-time best three-point shooters.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Y'all can't. Dude, they shouldn't lose this game.
Not by 20.
Not by 20.
Maybe you lose on a buzzer beater, and it's like NCAA March Madness type.
Dirk hit a couple threes. I mean, he had 1-3, but he had a couple big shots. But he was 3-for-10.
I mean, to me, the what stood out from the game was not just that, you know, the Sixers played poorly, but, you know, the fans are begging for Dirk to come into the game.
We want Dirk. At the end, you're right.
And then Luka Doncic, who's not playing, is standing up dancing the baby shark.
Yeah.
You know, do-do-do-do-do-do. And he's having a good time.
Yeah.
While they're destroying the 76ers. So I think that, you know, you don't, it's not certainly anything you want to panic over, but I think it's something that, you know, looking back, you're going to have some concern about exactly what this team is. Because performances like this don't make you feel encouraged that they'll get it together in time.
Exactly. You're exactly right. So when we get Barrett back, we're going to talk about the defense in the second segment. All right, Mike. So the defense, right? Now, this might sound ill, but I like when people talk about the defense, how bad it is, and J.J. Redick said the defense has been bad all year. Yeah. He is correct. I mean, they get, you know, it's like open shots. The guys are getting layups. Guys are doing everything. You know, so the defense is bad. You know, my question is like, you know, I mean, is it just who they are now? It's like, you know, I mean, it's like they just going to have to outscore teams? I mean.
They are.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to have to be what they do. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that, you know, obviously Jimmy and Joel are their best defensive players. Ben, you know, we know he has a potential to be a really good defensive player. But I think that, you know, some nights he also has to just kind of focus on offense and scoring. And that takes away what he can do on the defensive end. But this team, I don't know if it's scheme or just the personnel, but they're – two of their three best players against the Mavericks, Tobias and J.J., aren't noted defensive players.
Yeah.
Jonah Bolden is a rookie who we know defense is not his forte. Now, James Ennis is on the floor for that very reason, to provide defense. But it doesn't matter if there's nobody protecting the rim and able to sort of take advantage of like his ability to kind of put pressure on the ball and sort of – you know, be that first line of defense. So they're going to have problems. And I think that Joel covers up so much because he covers so much ground. He can defend in, off switches. You know, he can defend pick and roll. He can protect the rim. He does so much that you don't necessarily even notice because he's, you know, he's such a great player. But I think as a team, you know, when he's not around, it's really up to everybody, you know, to kind of have the system, the scheme to sort of bring it all together. But they don't have that right now. And they don't have guys on the floor who are making that a priority because they're so concerned about getting buckets and getting points because that's basically what they were brought to Philly to do in the first place. That defense sort of has taken the back seat. And that's really a concern because, you know, when it comes to playoffs, teams that go far are the teams that can lock down. Now, obviously, the Cavaliers didn't need to be a good defense team last year, but they had LeBron James. the Sixers don't have LeBron. So it's going to be interesting to see how they can get it all together because, again, there are a lot of questions about this team going into the postseason, and there aren't a lot of answers.
Now, I'm going to say something that some people may say is unpopular. Just because, you know, he's not a good shooter, you know, in their eyes. And he doesn't really fit the normal mold of a player that Brett Brown likes. Brett Brown likes guys, he likes 3-and-D guys. Jonathan Simmons is a D guy.
He is.
He ain't a 3 guy.
Nah, he's a slashing D guy.
A slashing D guy, but...
Because he likes to drive and take it to the hole.
He likes to drive and take it to the hole, but... The thing is, man, when you look at it and you see this defense just getting torched and you got a guy like that, you know, I think you got to start giving them minutes. I mean, on the defense. Now, again.
Well, especially in situations where Jimmy's not playing.
When Jimmy's not playing,
I think that
yeah.
He's got to be the first guy off the bench.
You got to see. Yeah, I mean, even exactly. Right now, like, I mean, you know, they're talking about it like, you know, they're saying, well, you know, is we don't have our two starters. I mean, we're giving, you know, we're giving guys minutes. We're trying to do this and do that. Like, I don't know if that's totally true. I mean, I'm not saying they're lying or nothing like that. I think these games mean more than they're letting on. That's what I'm saying. But what I think is you got to figure out what you have in a player. You know what I mean? Because he may have to, you know, he may come back and help you. But, you know, right now, like, and especially this game got out of hand. Mm-hmm. And they went to the bench. And, you know, I know this is Zaire's homecoming, which is great. But I think you needed to get some stops. You needed somebody to be a dog, be a pit bull, and stuff like that. And they didn't do it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and I think that, you know, I think the only reason Zaire played is because, you know, he was a guy who, you know, was back home and didn't matter. Same with Shake Milton. You know, they had nothing to lose. But, you know, when you're down 20, you go ahead and give an opportunity. But you don't really want to get down 20 for that to happen. You kind of want to see what, you know, you have. And, you know, you go with Shake Milton, and that's fine. He's a good story. But Jonathan Simmons, you know, was brought here to sort of be that guy who can provide that kind of tenacity. And, you know, I'm sure he would have loved to have the chance to play more than 4 minutes. You know, he's one of the few guys on the team that had a positive plus minus in the game. So maybe Brett will.
Now, here's something. I'm going to point this out. And this is what I'm going to point out how bad the defense is right now as points. You know, typically, you know, the playoff game comes down to defense. You know that.
If you can defend, wins
come down to defense. Now, on March the 10th, the Sixers held the Indiana Pacers to 89 points, right? 2 days later, they held the Cleveland Cavaliers to 99 points. After that, it got crazy. So they go to they play Sacramento. Sacramento had – it was a win. Sixers won. But Sacramento had 114 points, right? Mm-hmm. Then 2 nights later, they won this game. Sixers won, but they gave up 125 to Milwaukee, right? Mm-hmm.
Which is the number one team.
But still a lot of points.
A lot of points.
Then after that, they gave up 114 to Charlotte, right? Mm-hmm. They gave up 115 to Boston. They gave up 129 to Atlanta. 119 to Orlando, 110 to Brooklyn, only 109 to Minnesota, and last night, 122 to Dallas. So when you look at it, you're saying to yourself, like, they can't make any stops now.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's bad on a defensive end.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, of course, how many of those games they've been getting roasted has Joe played?
Let's see. Joe played. They got roasted. Well, let's say.
Well, he played against Atlanta.
He played against Atlanta. He also played against Orlando. He played against Brooklyn. The games that he missed were, you know, Minnesota and Dallas. So, yeah, he played in those other games. Now, he didn't play in the Charlotte game. They won without him.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't play there. But, you know, he played in Milwaukee. You know, so, you know. I get it. You know, he is a huge defensive presence. But, I mean, there were times when...
But, I mean, when you hold back-to-back teams under 100 and then you're just getting pasted and giving up 110 and 110 up, like, that is a concern because, you know, habits are formed throughout the course of a season, right? That's why you play 82 games. That's to kind of figure out who you are. And they're kind of showing who they are, sort of, again, because I feel like everything sort of has to... comes with the caveat of they haven't replayed that many games together.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can keep saying that, but, you know, this is a results league, and if they don't succeed in the playoffs, no one's going to be like, well, they didn't really have a lot of time to spend, because time is not – that's not even something they can concern themselves with, because there's a lot of pressure to get things done and to get it done this year. And that is a concern, because even no matter which – team you want to throw out there, the first team to start the year with Dario and Rob, the second team with just Jimmy, the third team with Jimmy and Tobias, or now this team is sort of dealing with Joe in and out of the lineup. Bad defense has sort of been a consistent thing.
Yep. a horrible defense, considering this thing. Now, with that, when we get back, y'all, we're going to talk about what to look forward to in the next five games and what can we learn from this team a little bit in the next five games and possibly a little bit in the playoffs. All right, Mark. I just called you Mark. I'm messing with you, man. Mike, what are you expecting to see from this team the next five?
I'm expecting to see a team that is looking to give guys rest and to make sure that they have their five main guys healthy and ready for a seven-game playoff series.
Yeah.
I think the priority, you know, Brett has said repeatedly, his priority is to clinch third. And, you know, they have a lot of things in their favor. They got the magic number is two.
Mm-hmm.
So all they got to do is get a win, get the Celtics to lose, and then it's a wrap. They wind up getting that seed. But it is going to be a challenge trying to get that win, primarily because, you know, you already know that you won't have Joe against Atlanta, and they beat you with him. You probably may not have Jimmy because there's no need to rush him back. I think ideally you get everybody on the floor for Milwaukee because that's one of the teams you might potentially face in the postseason, and you kind of want to see what you are against a really good team. You know, when you play these teams like Dallas and Atlanta who have nothing to play for, it's really kind of hard to measure, you know, because you're not going to play this style of basketball in the postseason. Milwaukee, you're probably going to play a team that's going to lock down defensively and do a lot of things. So, and you want to kind of leave a message for them going forward. But, like, against the Bulls, I'm pretty sure guys are going to rest, you know. The season finale, of course, probably nobody's going to play. So, against the Bulls. Both Bulls games, you're probably going to see a lot of guys sitting.
Mm-hmm.
So, really, the Milwaukee game and maybe the Miami game might be the last two games where you see, you know, a good amount of the players that you're going to see on the floor. So, I'm thinking of the five games left, you probably will see the starting five play two more.
Yeah.
I mean, you disagree or?
No, I think that's about right. I mean, I think that in a perfect world, they would play more. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, it's like, you know, these guys are banged up like we talked about in the first segment. So that's the one thing. So you might as well just shut it down. Now, secondly, and the one thing that if there's a plus for the Sixers, the plus would be that no one knows what they're doing. I mean, no one out there. They don't know how to defend them. They don't know this. They don't know that. You assume that Jimmy's going to be the closer. You assume that everything's going to run through Embiid. But the fact that, let's just say if Embiid plays on Thursday against
the Bucks,
that would be only the 11th, if all of them play.
All of them play.
That would be only the 11th time in a possible 25 games that they had all five starters play. So, you know, it's just going to be different. I mean, it's going to be once the playoffs start, we're going to see stuff and be like, whoa, I didn't know. Who knows? Maybe we might say, whoa, they know how to play defense.
You might.
You know, you might.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I think, the fact that, you know, they are a mystery, you know. You know, to themselves, like, we don't know who we are. And to the rest of the league, it's like, I think they'll be this, you know. It's really going to be hard to determine. And I think that's probably the one thing they can bank on is they haven't seen enough of this group, but neither has anyone else.
Now, I feel bad. But with that being said, sometimes I feel bad that when you cover these games but you got to write what you see. You got to write what's real. And it's like this team doesn't look like a team gelling at the time, you know, playing their best basketball, gelling at this time of the year. And this team isn't healthy. You know, this was a bad loss last night, just like several other ones. But again, like, you know, as you said on Twitter, as, you know, you've written and we talked about before, this team has the biggest bust potential. And they also have the biggest potential to go to the championship or whatever.
I mean,
so it's unknown.
I mean, if you look at it, like Milwaukee, you know that I think they've consistently been who they've been all year.
Mm-hmm.
They've been the best team, pretty much from end to end, you know. So they've played consistent basketball. They're winning the games. You know, they're supposed to win. Everybody looks like they're going to be refreshed. I mean, they got some injuries. They're a little banged up. But for the most part, you can kind of trust what they've been doing over the course of the season. Toronto, the same, you know. Now, obviously, they've done the whole load management thing with Kawhi Leonard. So you kind of get a sense of, you know, but you know that when they play together, they look pretty good. Mm-hmm. Pascal Siakam's been kind of the guy that's kept it all together all year. Then you get to the Sixers, and you kind of don't know what you have, you know. Indiana, they lost Oladipo, but I think you know that they've kind of maintained in his absence, and you know that defensively they are one of the top defensive teams in the league, so they're going to give you what you have. And Boston has been up and down, you know, in terms of how their effort is, mm-hmm. but they also do have the fact that they've been to the conference finals each of the last 2 years, and so they have guys who have been tested on the playoff stage together. Sixers, mm-hmm. they got a lot of new pieces, two huge pieces that you haven't really seen play together in this kind of pressure situation, and you don't know how guys are going to respond or perform, and you haven't seen enough to really say you can trust what they're going to be and who they are, you know, at this stage of the season, which is with 5 games left as a coach. I'm sure Brett Brown probably can't say it, but he did say, you know, that, you know, time isn't on their side.
No.
And you got to hope that the talent is enough to make up for that.
Yeah, you got to hope. So we'll see. It'll be an interesting 5 games and an interesting start to the postseason. But, Mike, I want to thank you for being on this podcast. It's been a great couple days chilling. And let y'all, you know what, if you haven't done it, you know, I hate giving competition shout-outs, but you need to read Michael Lee's stuff, I'm telling you. You know, Mike, in addition to being a great person, he's a great reporter. And on top of being a great reporter, he's a great writer. So y'all need to check my man out.
And thanks, man. I got that $5 I said I'd give you if you said that.
Yo, he owed me an extra 15. But real talk, though. Mike is a great writer, great reporter. You know what I mean? I've been following him for years. I'm talking about years, y'all, back when he was a high school reporter for the AJC. That's how far.
We go so back. That's why we both got grades in our beard.
Yeah, I remember you did the story on Drew. Remember the
Steven
base?
Drew. Steven yeah. Drew. Yeah. Drew's brother. Former Philly. Yeah. J.D. Drew. Right?
Well, remember, they were supposed to. Remember, yeah. They drafted him.
Former non-Philly. Yeah, non-Philly. Former St. Louis Cardinal.
I remember that. Lowndes High School in Valdosta, Georgia.
Yep.
But look, y'all, I want to thank y'all for listening and have a great day. Peace.